balance. How to live a balanced life. A life that honors God. We've talked about healthy lifestyles. We've talked about healthy finances. Today we want to talk about healthy relationships. And I invite you to pray with me before we open God's Word together. We thank you, our Father in heaven, that you are here. We ask you in Jesus' name to be here, and you are here by your Spirit. And lives will be changed today, and people who join us, perhaps not on the campus, but listening to the radio on Message of Hope Radio, joining us via our website, perhaps from here in Orlando or far across this globe, wherever they are, Lord, I pray a blessing as we open your Word today. We believe you want us to be healthy Christians, healthy followers of your Son Jesus, and to enjoy healthy relationships. So Lord, touch us now as we speak and as we listen, that we might receive a life-changing word from you that will affect the way that we live in the days ahead. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't have to remind you that we are surrounded by unhealthy relationships. Some of you may recognize this handsome young man just found guilty of murdering his wife and unborn child. One of those little boys has the same name as I do. His name is Derek. His younger brother is Alex. What stress did they go through? What unhealthy relationship would lead them to kill their father with a baseball bat? This distressed mother, what was going on in her life, in her world, that would cause her to drown her five children one at a time in a bathtub? We don't have many models of healthy relationships. And whatever this man did or did not do, I think many would agree that he is not a model of healthy relationships. But we don't have to go to the media to find pictures of unhealthy relationships. Why, unhealthy relationships are all around us. Some of us, even here today, may live in the midst of unhealthy relationships. A husband and a wife, a parent and a child, roommate, neighbor, work associate. We're surrounded, unfortunately, by unhealthy relationships. And yet, in the midst of this sin-sick world, God wants you and God wants me to enjoy healthy relationships. Do you believe that? Being a healthy Christian isn't just coming to church once a week and... No. It's enjoying a healthy life, which includes healthy relationships. So what does that look like? Well, I think the secret is found in a word from Jesus. And I hope you brought your Bible with you. It's actually a command of Jesus to his disciples and also to us. And in that simple message, I believe we find the secret for healthy relationships. And we want to examine that command of Jesus today and then ask, what would that look like in real life? Jesus is speaking to his disciples in the upper room. We're in John chapter 13, if you take your Bible and open to John 13 and verse 34. He's just instituted the Lord's Supper, the symbols of his love, his broken body, and his shed blood, reminding them that he has loved them to the full extent of love. He's about to be taken by an angry mob, beaten, spat upon, flogged, and finally nailed to a cross. But he goes willingly. He could have called 10,000 angels, couldn't he? But because of love, God so loved the world that he gave his Son. He said, I will lay down my life and I will take it up again because of love. But he has not yet left the upper room. He turns to his disciples and he has a word for them. A word also for us. It's in Luke 13 and verse 34. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you. A new commandment I give to you, that you," what? "That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Now there's some Bible students who say, that's not a new commandment. 1400 years earlier, through the prophet Moses, the Lord had said, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." But I want to suggest to you today that this is a new commandment, not just because Jesus said so, but because of what he said. Look again. Look carefully now. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." What does it say in your Bible? "That you love one another as I have loved you." The secret for healthy relationships is to love as Jesus loves. You say, "Pastor Derek, what does that look like, to love as Jesus loves?" Well, I want to take two case studies this morning from the relationship of Jesus with his disciples, because he said to them, "I want you to love one another as" what? "As I have loved you." So here's a couple of case studies, and we'll discover what it means to love as Jesus loves. That's the secret of healthy relationships. First case study, the relationship between Jesus and the Apostle John. You know, the Apostle John describes himself, if you've read your Bible in the Gospel of John, he describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus... Yeah. So there was no doubt in John's mind that he was loved by Jesus. But what did that love look like? Well, I want to suggest that to love as Jesus loves, firstly, means to love in spite of our shortcomings. To love in spite of our what? Well, John had them. Here's just one example. John was a hothead. He had a short fuse. He had a personality defect. And we see it flare up every once in a while, a bad temper. Luke chapter 9 records an incident, if you'd like to follow in your scriptures. Luke 9, verse 54. John and James are traveling with the disciples, and Jesus come near a village of the Samaritans, a village in Samaria. And an advance party apparently goes to see if there would be some hospitality. But the Samaritans are not willing to receive Jesus and his disciples. And here's the response of John and his brother, two peas in the same pot. John says, "Lord, shall we command fire to come down from heaven and burn them up, as Elijah did?" Now, I don't know if the disciples knew something that I don't know, but the story I remember with Elijah wasn't praying for fire to come down and burn people up who weren't hospitable to him. It was on a mountain, wasn't it? And the fire that he prayed for was to burn up the sacrifice to show that the Lord is God and not Baal. Well, John either forgot that, or just in the intensity of the moment thought, "Well, Elijah prayed for fire. Why can't we? Lord, shall we command fire to come and burn them up?" Jesus, the Bible says in Luke 9, verse 55, turned and rebuked them. Strong language. He turned and he rebuked them, and he says, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." Aren't you thankful for that? But if Jesus just wanted to destroy us, he could have stayed in heaven. We'd all have been damned. The wages of sin is death. But God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. Jesus says, "That's not what I'm like. That's not how Jesus loves." Jesus loves people in spite of their shortcomings. And he demonstrated that to John. He kept on loving him, this hothead, with a short fuse. Well, that wasn't John's only weakness. He had an ego problem too. Self-centered, self-serving. Mark chapter 10 records one occasion where John and his brother James come to Jesus, say, "I have a little request for you, Jesus. One of us would like to sit on the left and one of us on the right in the kingdom." The Bible says that the other disciples were greatly displeased. I wish they were greatly displeased because they were so modest and loved as Jesus loved. But I think they were envious that they hadn't asked first. You see, they were all fighting over who would be the first. And John and James beat them to it. Selfish, self-serving, self-centered. Jesus demonstrates his love. He loves them in spite of their shortcomings. You know, I was reading in this book that we're studying, Ten Commandments of Marriage. There was a story here that reminded me of loving as Jesus loves, loving in spite of shortcomings. A lady celebrating her 50th wedding anniversary, and her daughter came to her and said, "Mama, what's the secret? What's the secret for the years of joy and happiness that you've experienced with Daddy?" Mama thought for a moment. She said, "You know, when we were about to get married, I decided I would make a list of 10 things that really irritated me about your father. Shortcomings, if you will. And I decided that, I made a promise actually, that I would overlook those 10 things for the sake of marital harmony." Well, one of the granddaughters listening said, "Granny, tell us the list." Grandpa shaking in his shoes. The expose of all of his shortcomings about to come. Granny thought for a moment. She said, "Well, to be honest, I never did write down those 10 things, but every time your grandpa did something that just made me hopping mad, I said to myself, lucky for him, it's one of those 10 things." Grandma learned to love as Jesus loves. Doesn't it say somewhere that love keeps no score of wrongs? She learned that loving as Jesus loves means to love in spite of our shortcomings, and she enjoyed 50 years of healthy relationship. And by the way, may I tell you, if you do not learn to love in spite of shortcomings, you will move from one relationship to another. Huh? And if you ever find someone who doesn't have any shortcomings, they won't want to live with you. Is that the truth? The secret of healthy relationships is to love as Jesus loves. And that means to love others in spite of their shortcomings. Well, there's a second case study which teaches us what it really means to love as Jesus loves. A new commandment, he says, to love as I have loved you. And that's the relationship between Jesus and Simon Peter. Oh, Simon had shortcomings too. But in the relationship between Jesus and Simon Peter, we learn that to love as Jesus loves means not only to love in spite of shortcomings, but secondly, to love as Jesus loves means to love in spite of our failures. You know, Peter always had something to say, didn't he? And sometimes it was sensible. He maybe should have prayed the prayer that God brought to me this week, Psalm 141 and verse 3. It said, "Lord, put a guard on my mouth." You see, I have shortcomings too. "Lord, put a guard on my mouth. Put a watch over the doors of my lips." Because Peter often would say something without thinking, and the greatest failure was a result of that shortcoming. You know the story. They are now in the midst of a mockery of a trial, and Peter, along with the disciple whom Jesus loved, have gone to the palace of the high priest. Peter's out in the courtyard. You can read the story with me in Matthew 26. Peter about to experience, I believe, the greatest failure of his life. And yet he will learn through this how Jesus loves. Matthew 26, verse 69. Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them, saying, "I do not know what you're saying." Verse 71 of Matthew 26, "And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, 'This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But again, he denied it with an oath, 'I do not know the man.'" Verse 73 of Matthew 26, "And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you.' Then he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I do not know the man.' Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' So he went out and wept bitterly." The time of his greatest failure, his shortcoming of speaking without thinking, now becomes a time of great failure as he curses in the presence of the Son of God and says, "I don't even know who he is," and adds the greatest weight to the Savior's trial. But something happened. It's not recorded explicitly in the scripture. Something happened, because as he ran out of that courtyard, he was much like Judas, who had just denied his Lord. But Judas went and hanged himself in total despair. Something happened to Peter, because he shows up Sunday morning. Mark records even a conversation with Peter before Jesus speaks to the rest of the disciples. This great failure, so great that when the angels talk to the women, they say, "Go and tell the disciples and Peter." Such a great failure has come. He's not even gathered with the 12. It will be at the Sea of Galilee that Jesus will call him again and say, "Peter, do you love me?" And how many times does he ask Peter that? You see, the question is not, does Jesus still love Peter? The question is, does Peter really love Jesus? And we learn through this case study that Jesus loves us not only in spite of our shortcomings, but he loves us in spite of our failures. In my favorite book on the life of Jesus, The Desire of Ages, it makes this very clear. Page 713, "While the degrading oaths were fresh upon Peter's lips and the shrill crowing of the cock still ringing in his ears, the Savior turned from the frowning judges and looked full upon his poor disciple." What did Peter see there? At the same time, Peter's eyes were drawn to the Master. In that gentle countenance, he read deep pity and sorrow, but there was no anger there. The sight of that pale, suffering face, those quivering lips, listen now, that look of compassion and forgiveness pierced his heart like an arrow. Peter learned firsthand that when Jesus loves, he loves not only in spite of our shortcomings, but he loves in spite of our failures. Hallelujah. Gave him hope to not go out and end his life, but to say, "There's hope because Jesus loves me. There's hope for the future." And Jesus says, I want you to go and love others the way I love you. I want you to love people in spite of their shortcomings. I want you to love people in spite of their failures. It was more than 30 years ago that a popular song rocketed to the top of the charts. Surprised some, it was a nice tune. Sung well, but I think it was the message that really captured the hearts of the hearers. It was called Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree. Did you remember that song? Some folklore historian said it may have been based on a Civil War tale. I don't know if that's true or not, but according to the lyrics of the song, a man had been incarcerated, a prisoner, 3 years. He was now to be released, and was on a bus heading back to his town. In fact, the bus was to go right past the house where he lived. Apparently, this released prisoner had written to his wife, separated from her for these years, wondering if she still loved him and would forgive him for his terrible failure. Wondering, in the words of today's message, if she would love him as Jesus loves. Well, according to this, the lyrics of this song, he asked her to put a sign out to let him know whether he should, to quote the song, stay on the bus, forget about us, and put the blame on me, or whether he should tell the bus driver to stop and jump off. And the sign was a yellow ribbon. And he had asked her to tie this yellow ribbon around the oak tree. Well, the man told the bus driver what he was looking for, asked him to slow down. I guess everyone on the bus was listening, and now they're all looking. As the bus comes around the curve, there, the house where this man once shared his life and love, but terrible failure had come to him, 3 years of prison. Will this wife still welcome him home? Will she love as Jesus loves? Will she love him in spite of his failure? And the bus comes around the curve, and what do they see? 100 yellow ribbons around the old oak tree. Stop the bus. Somebody loves as Jesus loves. Someone loves in spite of shortcomings and in spite of failures. You know, I've wondered if it might be good for us sometimes to take a yellow ribbon and tie it around our finger when we get upset, so that when we're about to tell the person their shortcoming or their failure, we'll remember that Jesus loves us in spite of our shortcomings and failures. Some of us, I think maybe it would be good if we put the yellow ribbon, I didn't say around their head, I said to remind us, before we say a hasty word, that Jesus loves us in spite of our shortcomings and in spite of our failures. And he says, if you want healthy relationships, that's really what he's saying. If you want to be a healthy follower of mine, I want you to love as I love. I want to give you some homework today, because as I've been sharing this, some of you can think of someone who has loved you as Jesus loves. And I want you to reach in front of you right now and get one of these yellow cards. You see it right in front? Oh, we may need a few of those yellow cards on the front row if there's a deacon, because there's nothing in front of us. So maybe we've got a deacon that could help us with a few of those. But for the rest of you, I want you to take a yellow card. It may be written to the lady sitting next to you or the young man sitting next to you. Maybe something you'll need to drop in the little plate there in the back, and we'll mail for you. Just make sure you've got a name and we'll send it to them. I want you to write a note to that person who loves you as Jesus loves. That doesn't mean they're perfect. They have shortcomings and failures too. But you've seen the love of Jesus reflected in that person, and I want you to say thank you for loving me as Jesus loves. Some of you say to me, Pastor Derek, I don't have anybody who loves me like that. That's hard. But you know, there is one person who loves you as Jesus loves, isn't there? More faithful than a brother. You can write Jesus' name on the front. When did he last get a thank you card from you? You could write Jesus. You could say, thank you, Jesus, for loving me in spite of my shortcomings and in spite of my failures. I want you to make sure that gets to somebody who needs it. There's a pile of them on the way out if you want to pick one up. Celebrate the healthy relationship that God has given you with someone. That's part of the homework. Second piece of homework. I want you to come up at the end of the service. And I want you to take one of these flowers. And I want you to give it to someone who loves you as Jesus loves. And if there's nobody here like that, then take it for yourself. Because let it remind you that Jesus loves you. Doesn't he? In spite of your shortcomings and in spite of your failures. So you take one for you. And make a commitment with me. And that we'll love as Jesus loves you. Say, Pastor, I don't know if I can do that. I can't love like that. I can't love people in spite of their shortcomings and in spite of their failures. You know what? You're right. You can't. To love like that is a miracle. And you know how it happens? Write this text down. You know how it happens? The book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 5. You know how it happens that you can love as Jesus loves and enjoy healthy relationships? Romans 5 and verse 5. You know what it says? Hope does not disappoint us. Even if you're here this morning saying, I don't have healthy relationships. Hope does not disappoint us. The Word of God says, for God's love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He's given to us. And on a daily basis, I can pray because I want to enjoy healthy relationships. I want to honor God in my relationships and pray on a daily basis. Lord, pour your Jesus love into my heart so that I can love as Jesus loves. Pour your love into my heart by the Holy Spirit so that I can love people in spite of their shortcomings and love them in spite of their failures. And do you know what happens when you do that? Don't just do it because it's the right thing to do. But do you know what happens when you pray for the love of God to be poured into your life so that you can love as Jesus loves? John 15, write it down. John 15, verses 9 to 11. Do you know what will happen? The Bible says, if we follow the command to love one another, He says, our joy will be full. You'll be filled with inexpressible joy. Why? Because you are reflecting the beautiful character of our loving Jesus. You are loving as Jesus loves, and you'll know joy as you love people in spite of their shortcomings. You love people in spite of their failures. Doesn't mean you approve of what they did or encourage them to do it again. But you love as Jesus loves. I have one more gift for you. Don't forget to come get a flower. Don't say he can buy his own flower next week. Men need flowers too. Please don't wait to give them flowers when they can't hold them anymore. Celebrate the healthy relationship. Someone who loves you as Jesus loves. I have one more gift for you here. We ran out of these after second service, so they made some more and they're on the table in the back. But if you haven't yet got this solo album with this beautiful song we use for our midweek service, I want you to pick up this yellow sheet and I want you to go redeem it and get a copy of this solo album. It's got a scripture song I would recommend you all memorize. It's got many other beautiful scripture songs too. But it has this one that we sing on Wednesday nights. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always hopes, always trusts, always perseveres. Love never fails. You say, Derek, how'd you memorize all of that? I learned the song. I want to live this song. I want to love as Jesus loves, don't you? I want to love people in spite of their shortcomings, in spite of their failures. And I promise you, by the authority of the Word of God, I promise you that if you will pray on a daily basis for God to fill you with His love by the Holy Spirit, that you will experience unbelievable joy as you love, as Jesus loves. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your unfailing love, so perfectly revealed in Jesus our Savior. He came to show us that God is love. And I thank you that we have learned from Jesus that to love as Jesus loves means to love people in spite of their shortcomings, to love people in spite of their failures. And you call us in your command to love as you have loved us. And I pray that you would pour your love into our hearts. Give us that opportunity even today to celebrate healthy relationships. And Lord, even if there's no one here that we can write a card to or give a flower to, thank you that we can write a card to you, Lord Jesus, and we can take a flower from you. Because you love us. You love us with an amazing love. You came to save us because you love us so much, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our failures. May we in this coming week reflect the beauty of your love in healthy relationships, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International Copyright 2005, all rights reserved. To order additional CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, call our toll-free order line, 1-800-233-4450. For international calls, dial 717-652-7000. You may also download our latest catalog or order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now to send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your letters and ongoing financial support are greatly appreciated. This year, 2005, we are celebrating our 30th anniversary, 30 years of faithfully maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra. Speakers associated with this ministry are all on the same page. There is no theological compromise here at ACM. We're helping prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.